Father, thank you that we can come together to your word. We ask you, Lord, that you quicken our mind, that we may be able to hear what you want us to hear, that we may be able to receive everything that you have provided for us. Lord, we just thank you that we know, Lord, that as we come to your word, Lord, the word will be planted in our hearts, it produces in us the things you send it for. And we give you all the honor and the glory to you, Lord, because it's not for what we do, but what you did, Lord, that we can receive everything that we need in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I have been dealing with acting on the word, dealing with this topic. And the more I look at it, and the more I think that this is such an important subject, and so some important thing to understand, that I have to review some things more in detail, because I believe this is the place and the area in which people find difficult to apply successfully and to get the results. This is what actually hinders the ability, our ability to receive from God what God, what Jesus has done for us, what God wants to do with us. And so when we understand that, then we can appropriate everything that Jesus did. But the understanding is critical. This is the way God works. See, it's not our understanding. It's His understanding, the understanding that He gives us. It's not our logic and our reasoning. It's the revelation that we get from the Holy Spirit to see through what the words say on the surface and to receive really in our spirit the truth that can empower and change our life. So this is where want us to really appropriate the things that God has done. This is what He wants. This is why He has done what He has done. But we have a part we play. See, we have the part to complete His work in us. We have to cooperate with what He has done to make it ours. And to make it, Lord, in such a way, and make it in such a way that is manifested in our life. See, everything that God does today is by the Holy Spirit working in us. But He's working in us. And that's what He has to do. Unfortunately, often He's dormant in there. We don't allow Him to manifest the things He wants to do. We kind of, be busy or distracted. And really, distraction is the things that keep us away from being able to receive the things of God. We have to overcome that, and we have to understand how to overcome that. You know, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 says something that is so important for us to keep in our mind and in our hearts, to really understand and to apply to ourselves. It says that His divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You see, all things. Can you say all things? That means that there is nothing that you need that pertains to life. That means, you know, your actual life that you're living and your godliness, the ability to connect with God, to be the way God wants you to be. He has given us everything. And if He has given us everything, that we don't need anything. See, the Psalm 23, you know, the Lord is our shepherd, we shall not want. We have nothing, we are not lacking anything. But if we hear many Christians, They are there asking God for a lot of things that looks like they don't have. Now, either what they say is true or what the Word says is true. And what we have to do is to realize what the Word says and to start lining up our thinking with the God thinking, which is His Word. So the first things that we have to come to realize is the fact that we have everything that we need for life and godliness. And that a thought has to be so strongly implanted into us that when we feel lack in our life, we should say, wait a minute, you know, what's wrong now? And take a position within ourselves about the truth instead of looking at what appears to be our circumstances. See, the enemy is very clever in making us believe things by putting up a show that we can overcome as we take a position and rely on the Word instead of relying on what appears to be. I want to continue that. You know, but says, through the knowledge of Him who called us to glory and virtue. You see, is how do we get these things is through the knowledge of Him. You see, our knowledge. And we have to be careful about that. Be careful about, you know, this is knowledge of Him, not the knowledge that we get from the world. This is the knowledge that comes from the Holy Spirit, that comes actually from His Word. See, His divine power doesn't come from our knowledge that we get through our educational system or through our learning and our thinking and our logic. Our knowledge comes by revelation from the Holy Spirit, who was the one who wrote the scriptures anyway in the first place. Come from His revelation that gives us the understanding of the truth instead of trying to figure out things on the physical level. And so what He does, He calls us to glory and virtue. You know, the word glory there means, you know, that, you know, the word is, you know, an exalted state, a brightness, a dignity that we, you know, he planned that for us. He plans us to be in an exalted state. Hallelujah. And virtue. You know, virtue is, unfortunately, you know, sometimes these words that I use, you know, have been translated things do not reflect completely the meaning that the original Greek word has. You know, virtue there, it comes from manliness. That means, you know, strength. That means, you know, the, you know, magnificence. You know, all these different things have to do with, a, you know, an exalted state. That these are all together. This is what God has planned for us. God has not planned for us to be going around in lack, going around as defeated, as losers. God is not a loser Himself, and He doesn't want us to be losers. He wants us to be victorious. We can do all things in Christ. We can overcome. He wants us to be overcomers. He doesn't want us to be pushed around by what the world, what happens in the world. We have to realize that and take that position, because you see, we have to respond. The Word is there, it's been there all the time. But how many really have received it and applied to themselves and says, yes, this is me. This is what I am. This is what God has done for me. This is what I'm going to see happening in my life. You see, that manliness, that position, that strength has to be manifested in us before it's going to be actually happening. So, so by the glory, you know, called us, He has called us. It doesn't mean that He has put us, He has called us. You see, the fact that He has called us, we have to respond to the call. He doesn't push us. He let us free to respond or to do whatever we want to do. But if we respond to the call, then his divine power enable us to manifest these things in our lives. See, in this scripture, there is so much empowerment that if we just meditate on it, if we just spend time on it, if we just start receiving it, it changes everything the way we look at life in general. Let me continue here. So, by which, this knowledge they are called us for, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises. See, through this knowledge, we need to know God's promises. If we don't know God's promises, we have no basis to have faith for them. So we have to know what God wants us to have. We have to know what is that he wants to give us. You see, it's through the promises that we receive what we said before, glory and virtue, and receive, everything we need for life and godliness. So the promises of God are the key for us to be able to connect with him and to allow him to manifest in us, to transfer to us the things that he wants to see in our lives. Praise the Lord. So in his exceedingly great and precious promises, they are so big that sometimes it's difficult for us to even be able to grasp the implications that they have. We have to connect with that truth. And sometimes it looks like a pie in the sky. Looks like it's far too much. Because so few actually experience that degree of blessing that God wants to put upon us. It says in Ephesians that we are blessed with all spiritual blessing in heavenly places. All spiritual blessing, not just some, all of them. So the thing is, if there are all of them, that means we can be blessed more than we are already blessed. Amen? Praise the Lord. And through this, we become partakers, of the divine nature. And the word partakers there means, that we become partner or a share of the divine nature. So really the divine nature, the power of God manifested in us as he is imparted to us through these promises. Through the manifestation of these promises, through the way the Holy Spirit works to manifest these promises, because the promises are there, but the manifestation doesn't come from our effort, from our goodness, from our abilities. It comes from His ability, comes from the Holy Spirit being activated in us and to produce the things Himself supernaturally. The Holy Spirit doesn't work at the mind level. The Holy Spirit is a spirit and works at the spirit level. And because it works at the spirit level, it's much more powerful than any mind activity that you can do. And what manifests this power, it can touch your mind, absolutely. But not only your mind, it can touch your body. But the source, the power is a spiritual one. And it's not something that you cook up or you try to make up. It's something that comes from God himself. It's God working in you, producing those results in a supernatural way. Christianity is completely supernatural. There is nothing, Christian philosophy is a waste of time. Because you cannot change people by philosophy. You cannot change people by psychology. It's like trying to pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You can't do that. But there is a point of reference in the spirit that allows you to get places that otherwise you cannot get. So having, you know, so we become partakers. I mean, so we are going to be a partner with the Holy Spirit, working, allowing these things to take place, to happen within us and to manifest within us, both in our spirit, soul, and body. And that's saying, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You see, if you got everything, you have nothing to lust about. You got everything. This is what, that's the freedom that we get. There is nothing that we need to want and lust and go after when we got everything already. But we had to get to the place in which we realize that we got everything already, because otherwise we are going to keep lasting. And if we could keep lasting, we aren't going to be bound yet from the element of the world. So to become free, you had to go get over this neediness component and to become owner of everything. Are you following me? You see, God promises, and there are thousands. We just had to know them. We just had to, you know, allow them to change the way we see things so that we can say, this is a promise, but, you know, it's more than a promise. This is given to us. So the only thing now has to do is I have to receive it. You see, one of the problems that people do all the time is to pray to receive God's promises. We should not pray to receive God's promises. I mean, if I promise you something, you don't need to ask me for it. The very moment you ask me for it, what you're doing is denying the fact that I'm giving it to you. If I promise to you something, you don't have to be there. Oh, please, you know, give it to me. I just need that. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. What you have to do is stretch your hand and take it. This is what pleases God, because that means you believe what he said. You believe his promises. You believe that he just said, you know, I want to give you this. So you don't go around and say, please, Lord, heal me. You know, when he said, you know, has done everything for you to be healed. See, by doing this, by asking God the things that are already given to us, what we go do is short circuit the Holy Spirit from being able to manifest his power. Because we are there still in need. You see, we are still lusting after these things that are ours. So it doesn't make any sense to be asking and lusting and lacking them. That's the way we overcome the corruption in the world. Otherwise, we stay in there. Praise the Lord. See, we have to believe and trust God. For God is faithful. You know, we sang the song, Faithful One. Well, he is faithful. He's faithful to what? He's faithful to his promises. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to the fact that we can count on what he said, because he cannot go do anything contrary to what he said. See, God is bound by his word. Point is, people are not bound by their word, so they don't trust that one can trust the word of somebody. When we start becoming the people we want us to be, you know, then we start to, when we say something, we do it. And when we do it, that means, you know, we feel bound by our word, you know, and before we change, you know, we are going to do it even if it hurts. But God doesn't hurt by doing the things he said he would do, because he wants to do them, because he loves us. So we just need to thank him instead of asking. Thank them in advance for the things he said are ours. We just receive them by faith. So by faith, say yes. You see, there is two faces of receiving. One phase is when you don't have, and it says, yes, it's mine. And it's just in your spirit, in your heart. And you take that position within yourself. And when you do that, then the second phase is when it's starting to be manifested. You start praising God that he has given it to you, and you start living in that reality. And that reality that before is only spiritual become physical, because it's not a mind thing anymore. It's just a question that your heart is open to God, and the Holy Spirit can do the work that needs to be done. You see, that should affect the way we see reality around us. That should affect the way we feel emotionally about things. We are going to talk more about emotions later on. I don't know if today, but sometime. Because they are a component on our life and our soul. And we need to recognize they have an impact on things. So, we have to see how they connected with things. What I'm trying to stress here is the fact that the Word says, give us promises, it says things. And when we read them, often we just don't believe them. Or believe them only, we agree with them mentally, but we really, at the heart level, we just doesn't register there. The truth that he's saying. And because of that, there is no actual the impact, the changes that should happen at in us at the spiritual level. You see, our spirit hasn't really embraced that truth yet. This is why, you know, it's so important to be doer of the word. Even before we get it, even before we get the understanding, we have to start hearing it and doing it. Because only when we do it, then we actually register to the place where it can start working in our spirit. This is not being legalistic. This is being understanding the way it works. This is why James says, that you be doer of the word, not hearer only, otherwise you deceive yourself. You know, people say, oh, the devil deceived me. No, you deceived yourself. You don't need the devil to deceive you. You are really good at doing it yourself if you don't do the word. Okay, well, that's the way we are. See, so that's why we had to take action. That's why we had to look at the word, be open to it, and receive it before, even if sometimes we don't understand it. You know, on this scripture of 2 Peter, I'm using it even for, you know, my signature for my email. I've been here for 2-3 years. The more I think about, the more I meditate on it, the more I get from. The more becomes powerful inside me to operate not only at the spiritual level, but also at the mental and physical level. Because I spend enough time on it to start to expand in those other areas and start to get deeper enough to produce results. This is the way the word works. This is why meditation is so important in the word. So, you are the doer. You do start doing the word. And the word start working in you. And then whatever it works in you, that you connect you, the doer, you do it physically. You don't do it just mentally. You can do something, you can walk, say and so on, but you know, you start doing it. So there is a participation in the word with your physical body. And that, but the word is spirit and they are life. So because they are spirit, they are life, the spirit and life in the word starts to be transferred to what the word is working with. Or you, what you are working with the word, which is your body. And so after a while, you can start to see that the power that is in the world start to transfer to the mental and the physical level. See, if we don't do it, the Holy Spirit cannot work. See, this is the problem often with people when they say, oh, you know, I really follow the Holy Spirit. Well, it works the other way around. The Holy Spirit will follow you. You see, you do, and he helps. If you wait for him to help by doing nothing, he's not going to be activated. Now, there are, you know, Wigglesworth, for example. And if you don't understand this, what I'm going to talk about now, you cannot understand, you cannot even receive what Wigglesworth said. He said, when the Holy Spirit doesn't move, I move the Holy Spirit. I mean, sounds like I can tell God what to do. There is some truth in that. Okay? It's not that you can get him, it's not like a puppet, like, you know, you can use him to do whatever you want to do. But there are prescriptions, there are things that he said that you should do that brings about his operation. So when you make the decision to do those other things are going to happen. For example, if you confess Jesus as Lord, something, and believe it in your heart, then something happened to you. And that happened very regularly to anybody that does it. It doesn't need to be a special anointing that takes place. It's something that God has established. It's a law that I put in place. And so that is going to happen all the time. You believe Jesus with your heart and you accept him with your Lord and you are born again and there is the biggest miracle that takes place, whatever, in any place, for anything. Your spirit is reborn and everything in your spirit, is of God. I mean, there is nothing bigger than that, and that happens simply by just one little decision and one little step you take. It's almost automatic. It's like pushing a button and the Holy Spirit responds right there. You know, we believe it. Most people, the evangelical Pentecostal, believe that for being born again. I'm asking you, what is the difference between that and healing? Healing is much less than what took place then. If you push the healing buttons, let's call it that way for the time being, it should be just as easy. But it's not, because we are bound by the things we see and the things we feel. Is just as easy. And this is why I want to prepare for the communion service so that we can, communion service is really the button we push for you to receive your healing. But you have to understand how to do that, and you have to understand how to receive it. You know, I came into that experience years ago. The Lord healed me instantaneously once I was taking communion. I'm going to share this when the day comes. All right. So, is just what Wigglesworth said, or what I'm telling you that point us in this direction? Absolutely not. If you go to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6, says something that is exactly what I'm telling you, what I've been finished to tell you now. It says, therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you. I mean, it doesn't say wait so that God stirs up the gift within you. Are you following me? He says you stir up the gift. You see, there is a part we play that is coming from our will that we have to play, that we can make a difference. Now, the stir up idea, you know, the word there is rekindle. It's really, you know, that means, you know, it's already in you, but it's doing nothing there. It's asleep. So you stir it up. You know, the word there that they can be used, you know, when you stir up amber, you know, the piece of coal that is there, that is just, you see the redness, but it's not the flame. You just blow on it. You just do something with it so that there is air, and then the flame comes back. See, you need the flame going. You need the power of God manifested. You need to work, not just to be there kind of asleep. And to do that, you have to stir it up. You have to understand how you stir it up. You have to want to stir it up. You have to take action. You see, how do you stir it up? You sit down there and wait for God to do something? See, that's what most people do. They wait on God, not understanding that that's not what God's saying to do. You have to stir up the Spirit. Because when you stir up the Spirit, what happens? The Spirit starts moving. And you start getting results right there and then. Hallelujah. Let me continue here. Okay? Stir up the gift which is in you to the laying on of hands. For God, and this is the thing. You see, generally people stop right there. You know, they always take a scripture and they stop just when the things get better. That's why you have to always take scripture within their context. Because generally, you know, there is a reason why a verse comes after the verse that was before. I mean, there is a logic there that is followed through. They continue to explain what God wants to explain. And there's a stir it up. But it says, for God has not given you a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. See, what he's telling you, people is get self-conscious. People be afraid. People, you know, be insecure. When he says, you know, God has not given you the spirit of fear. God has not given you also the spirit of slumber. God has given you power, love, and a sound mind for you to operate. You have to trust what you're getting. If the Holy Spirit is inside you, what is it there for? And we're going to see that even more later on. He's going there to bring you and to take you into all truth, show you the all truth, to guide you there, to direct you. So the Holy Spirit is going to communicate to you what to do next. If he communicates what you do next and you are there wondering, is that the Holy Spirit? Maybe I'm making it up. Is that faith? Well, what about if I'm wrong? So what? If you are wrong, you're going to find out. That's the way you are going to learn. You see, people are so afraid of making mistakes. They say, you know, if I make a mistake, I blew it. No, God wants you. You see, God doesn't want cowards. Doesn't want timid people. Wants people that are willing to put their life on the spot for him and for their faith. Are you following me? See, this is so important, because how are you going to be able to stir up the Holy Spirit if you are afraid that, you know, maybe it's not the Holy Spirit, or I know I may be wrong. So what? The fact is, when you are going to act on your prompt, the prompting of the Holy Spirit, you're going to see the results that are going to happen. If you don't get the results, no, that was wrong, because probably you were thinking about the wrong thing. And you had the wrong intentions. You were in the way instead of letting God do the work inside you. But how are you going to find out? By making mistakes. You know, you do nothing and nothing is going to happen. You do something and you may learn from it. Or you should learn from it. Because you should learn from the results. Hallelujah. You know, this is where we have to really move into God. To respond to what God wants to do with us. You know, we had to allow God to work through us. And you do that by taking action on what he directs you to do, in the direction, the revelation, the understanding, the prompting that he does with you. And it's a small voice most of the time. You don't expect all the time to have a writing on the wall. Hallelujah. You see, you do good work. You go the good deed. You do what God wants you to do by doing the word. Start with, because the word is the truth. Now in James chapter 1 verse 25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, and is not forgetful ear, but doer of the word, then he is the one is blessed in all he does, what he does. You see, the fact that we actually continue to do it. We are doing it. We are continuing to do it because the word says that. And you see, what happens is that we get understanding and revelation, and we have the experience to be able to see the truth in what the word of God says. You see, the whole thing open up. The Holy Spirit start working. We start becoming partaker of the divine nature. That means, you know, the manifestation of the glory of God starting to be in our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are you following me? I think we should do a little bit of a confession here. You know, that's the thing we had to learn to do. I'm emphasizing this because this is part of doing the word. You know, you see, you hear something, the word ministered to you in an area, right away, instead of waiting to forget it, because you're going to forget it, you had to seal it within yourself. And you seal it by confessing it, by speaking it out and say, you know, this is what I believe. This is the truth. This is what I live. Are you following me? Okay. So, let's do that. So, God is not a loser. And he lives in me. And I am not a loser. Because I'm a believer. And I'm not a quitter. I look into the perfect law of liberty. And I continue in it. And I'm a doer of the word. And because of that, I am blessed in everything I do. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. You see, that's sometimes doesn't need to be even very long. But you get just one concept, one idea, and you have to print it, you know, stamp it inside you. You know, writing on your heart, that's right. You know, we tend so much to, in this society, you know, to go from one thing to another. And we always want more, more, more. When instead, you know, we should get deeper, deeper, and deeper. We should get what you get. You should use, you know, before you get more, you use what you have. Otherwise, you see, this is still connected with the fact of lacking. This sense of, I need more. It says, I have all that I need for life and godliness. So if I have all that I need, I don't need anything. I don't need to go looking for things. Now, when I need something, the Holy Spirit is already inside me and is going to bring it out. He's going to give it to me because it's already there. It's mine. I already have it. The only thing I had to do is I had to get it in my brain, little brain. Are you following what I'm saying? See, when you start realizing that and you start walking on that level, you see, you are going to start experiencing the power of God working in you. And this is really all what you're talking about. You know, acting on the word is what releases the power of God working inside you. You know, people sometimes don't get it. And the only reason why they don't get it is because they quit too soon. Sometimes the only thing they would have to do is to stick around a bit longer and they would get it. But most of the people, they don't get it in 2 minutes. Oh, I haven't got it. I don't know what to do. Just do what you know you have to do. Do what the word says you have to do. You're going to get it because God is faithful. And if he has to go around and do, you know, whatever things need to be done so that you are going to find out the problem you have, he's going to do it for you. But you hold on. You don't give up on God's promises just because they don't appear instantaneously. God is faithful. Hallelujah. You know, he says, believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. You lay hands on somebody and doesn't look like it's nothing is happening. And you say, oh, it didn't work. I was going to say, shut your mouth. I was going to say. Okay, you see, you are in contradiction already with the word. You say what the word says, and then be quiet and believe what the word says. You believe what the word says so that he can bring it to pass. You see, you are eradicated or removed or erased everything you did before by saying, well, it didn't work. That's what you believe. And you get exactly what you believe. It didn't work. You stand on the place and say, yes, I pray. The word says that. That's all enough for me. And I'm going to, if I had to say another 10 times, if I had to lay another 10 times my hands, I'm going to do that even. Because it doesn't matter. It's not that I'm praying God do it. I'm commanding it and the thing has to go. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. The Holy Spirit is a good helper. He's always there. No matter even what you do, he's always there. It's just that sometimes what you do stops him from acting. That's all. Starting to manifest himself. Okay? See, for it says, this sign shall follow them that believe. It doesn't say, this sign shall precede those who believe. Moses, when he was in front of the Red Sea didn't split. He was there. The Red Sea was there. The Egyptians were on the back. And everybody was screaming and yelling, afraid of what was going to happen next. And he went to God. I mean, God says, you know, go and take them out. And he went to God. And God got fed up with him. He said, well, what are you waiting for? Do you have the stick? Just command. He had to say, he had to believe. And when he said, and when he took a stick and put it against that, the water split. But if he wouldn't have done that, they would be all massacred by the Egyptians. See, but he was smart enough at least to hear what God was saying. Are you following what I'm saying? Sometimes we have to do the same. See, we go and says, God, please, what I had to do. Well, wait a minute. What God said you have? You have authority over scorpions and serpents. In no way they shall hurt you. You believe that? Or you believe, oh my goodness, you know, I had to go to the pastor because, you know, they're beating me up. Well, if you are a son of Shiva, yes. But if you are a believer, no. Oh, praise the Lord. All right. Well, I think we just running out of time. Yeah. We're going to see more about, walking in the Spirit. Being led by the Spirit. Because that's where the, as we are led, if we are led by the Spirit is not going to do it. You are led. The Spirit expects you to do something. It's like the example that I gave before was, if you are driving your car, and you go around where you feel, okay? You go to a certain place. But if you have one of those people like I am with my wife sometime, I tell her all the time what to do. Sometimes she said that too. But, the idea, the Holy Spirit tells us what to do. He's not driving, we are driving. But he's telling us, he's directing us, he's enabling us. Now it's for us to drive. It's like he's a backseat driver. He's there telling us and he's there helping us. Because he knows the old picture. Like when you're not driving, you are not caught up into the thing, you don't have to, you get out of the road here, whatever. So you can say things because you see it, because you're not caught up in other things. He can see exactly what you had to do. And he's there telling you all the time, but you have to trust that what he's telling you is coming from him. Hallelujah. Well, I think we have to close for today. You get anything? Praise the Lord. So you see, I want to make sure that by the time we finish this, you know how to act on the word. You know how to get the Holy Spirit to manifest the promises the way he promised them. Okay? This is, for you to be successful in everything you do, in the terms of implementing the word in your life. This is what God wants. God doesn't want people to be, the word there is overcomer, okay? He wants us to be overcomers. Do you want to be overcomers? The only way is to get connected with the Holy Spirit and to do what he tells you to do. Simple as that. Amen. So that's what, they start with the word. You see, lots of people move into that dimension, but they end up trying to do it by feelings and by other things. Instead, it's by the word that it has to happen. Because it's the word that is really the source of all the understanding that we have. It's by the word that we, when we implement the word in our lives, that we receive the things that God wants us to have. We always have to check things out with the word. That's why, before we can really be effective in this, we have to be in the word. We have to be in the word night and day. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay, let's close in prayer. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your word. Lord, we can walk in victory. We can walk in peace. We can walk, Lord, in freedom. Lord, because we know that your word is true. And your word guide us and take us, Lord, in the places where you want us to be. We just thank you and praise you, Lord, for your word. We just thank you and praise you that Jesus demonstrated to us how to do this in our lives. So, Lord, that we may be able to become more and more like him. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. So see you next week.